May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn 455. Once more we come before our God, once more his blessing ask. Oh, may not duty seem a load, nor worship prove a task. Father, thy quickening spirit send from heaven in Jesus' name, to make our waiting minds attend, and put our souls in frame. Hymn 455.
From the most holy word of God, from Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, and reading chapters 2 and 6. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapters 2 and 6. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. In chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they fall, shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the end of to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing, I'll bless thee, and multiplying, I'll multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest for ever, after the order of Melchizedek. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us reading his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious, and almighty Lord God, thou hast spared our unworthy lives to gather once again in thy courts on this another Sabbath day. Thou hast not dealt with us as our sins deserve, and none of us can say we've been without sin. Ah, none of us can say we've been without sin. Sin mixed with all we do, our very best is stained and dyed, our all is nothing worth. Oh, may we each then be found as we've been able to gather, as those made sensible of their sin, the beggar poor at mercy's door, lies such a wretch as I, all that might be felt in our hearts, truly so, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, found even in thy court as thou hast so spared us to do. Ah, yes, thou hast maintained our breath. Ah, maintained us in life. We're still upon praying ground. The door of mercy still stands open to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. The day of grace has not ended. Or may it be found amongst those then that truly desire thee. You come like those Greeks of old with us, sirs, we would see Jesus. Oh, the beggars poor, all our wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, we have nothing to commend ourselves. Nothing to commend ourselves. But oh, the foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, may it be found then. Bow down under that sense of sin. A sight by faith of one holy, holy, holy. and the Spirit working within us, bringing forth such cries, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me or I perish. Have mercy upon me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. All true longings after thee, pantings after thee. So we plead then those that perhaps, like it was with many of us and oneself especially, all those years we came and went, entered into thy courts and went away again. We were satisfied with all those, just the outward form. We had no desire after thee. We knew not our need. Didn't realize we were as dead as the sleep we sat upon. We were satisfied with just going in and out like the door upon its hinges. Until thou didst put forth thy hand. Thus far thou shalt go no further. Brought to see that all our thought righteousness was but as a filthy rag before thee. Not of works lest any man should boast, but it is that gift of God. By grace are ye saved through faith, and so it must be. Oh, do then work in each one's heart. Thou knowest the heart and the desire of each one. Thou lookest upon the heart. Oh, do yet take each in hand, from the youngest to the oldest. Oh, we fast hasten on. Where has this year gone? We add year to year, year to year, year to year, decade to decade. Come down even to moment by moment. And so our lives go by as a tale that is told, as a passing shadow, so it fleeth away. Teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Oh, that we might know of a truth how frail we are. That our days, even if we're spared to 100 years upon the earth, are but as nothing compared to eternity. But all to be brought to that eternity, a tremendous sound. Oh, what a tremendous sound it is. All those unnumbered years that will be there. Oh, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? Yes, even this one that stands up in thy name. Oh, we come in that personal way. May each one know it likewise. Make me right and keep me right. Hold thou me up and I shall be safe. Oh, with those fresh longings. Longing for a token for good. That we might see those signs, yes, and be found truly sheltering under the blood. But oh, to see it there by faith, a place of safety. So do prepare us each. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience, clothe and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Oh, may it please it then, stir us each up. We might not be found amongst those foolish virgins in the day when the bridegroom shall appear. Lord, may be found amongst the wise, those made wise unto salvation. So we plead, teach us each, lead us each. Lead us each forth with that right way that we might go into that city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. By our very conception and birth we are found in that broad way which leadeth unto eternal death. And it's not until the Spirit shines within, brings that one in guilty under the law. Yes, found amongst the chiefest of sinners, and even as a chief of sinners they're brought to feel. Groaning, being burdened. So may it please thee, might even this day each one of us know in measure, with this burden I begin, Lord, remove this load of sin. When the bridegroom shall appear, we shall be found with that oil of grace in our lamps and in our vessels, and be clothed upon with that robe of thy righteousness. The day of judgment is before us each. When we shall have to appear before the judge of all the earth. And shall not the judge of all the earth do right in that day? But all it might be, this one and that one, the beggar poor that knows what it is to feel to be the beggar poor, one upon the dunghill, but all to be found in that day as a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. So we plead that it might be this day a Sabbath unto our souls. Yes, perhaps a Sabbath for the first time in one or another. But, O Lord, thou knowest those likewise have been many years in the way. We need those revivings and refreshings and renewings. Oh, we need a word again to lift up our weak hands and confirm our feeble knees. Do we not find that word to be true? Read of it in Isaiah. They that fear the Lord, but they walk in darkness and have obeyed the voice of his servants. They have no light. The hymn writer put it likewise, days of darkness and distress are our portion here below. And how often it is so. Troubles and trials come, unbelief rises up. The enemy is soon at our right hand to resist us. Oh, those days of darkness. Oh, when the old adversary tempts us sore, we wonder whether we have any hope. We wonder whether we have any hope. But, oh Lord, may there be that lifting up of our eyes unto thee. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. For my help cometh from the Lord. That one that made all these things, the creator of all things, by whom are all things. May those varied and various scenes then cause us to look up, cause us to look again, bring us into that place where we have to go into the closet and shut the door about us and cry. Oh yes, perhaps even cry again, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Pleading that thou wouldst lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, that thou wouldest once again, as a son of righteousness, arise and shine with healing in thy wings. We might yet go forth, even again as the calves of the stall. But, O Lord, we read in thy word and we prove it so. Through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom. Oh, even this poor one, those few weeks ago now, we have brought him to this. As we read in the Revelation, brought up out of great tribulation. Ah, may we be found amongst those in that day that have come up out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It must be this, and it will be this, shall it not? Leaning upon our beloved. So to enable each one, yes, thou knowest those that have come in burdened and troubled and tried, distressed and perplexed. All those varied and various scenes of life, things hard to be understood, and oh, what a day we live in. What a day we live in. Lord, to lean harder upon thee. Ah, to cast our cares upon thee. And to prove that, ah, yes, there is that one that has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We often find, like the hymn writer, I seem forsaken and alone, and hear the lion roar. But oh, every door is shut but one, and that is mercy's door. Oh, may we each prove again and again mercy's door. That door that stands open to the poor and the needy, that knock by the way. The poor trembling worm Jacob, amidst all his fears and foes of every shape and form, the door of mercy. Ah, yes, dear old Jacob, he knew what it was in his feelings to say, all these things are against me. Ah, we're worm Jacobs. We often find such thoughts arise in our heart. All these things are against me. The old adversary saying, where is now thy God? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? But oh, have we not proved again and again that one that has said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Even unto the end of the world. Oh, when we're brought to the end of everything in our experience and the end of the earth, it seems, no man to help, we prove there is help laid upon one that is mighty. We prove there is that one that loveth at all times a brother born for adversity. May each one prove it. And so as thou hast brought us into thy courts, thou knowest the need of each one. Needs for time and eternity and providence and grace. Oh, may they prove, that thou art a God of providence and a God of grace. One that is able to supply all the needs according to thy riches in glory. To remember the dear young friends, we look upon them, the very young ones, so those are growing up and going on to the life. Lord, remember them in this dark and evil world, full of all its temptations and trials and even tribulations in their young years. Lord, to work in their hearts mightily, we plead. They might know that there is a God that is able to do for them in their young years more than they can ask or even think. Keep them close to thee. Keep them tender of heart and mind and conscience. We live in a day when evil is called good and good is called evil. Ah, solemn is the day. But do be their protector, the hedge about them, that unseen hand upon them. Ah, that one, yes, even in their young years, that, we thank thee for that precious truth and thy words which thou didst declare, suffer the little children to come unto me, even the little ones. Forbid them not, or enable them to go unto thee in their simplicity, childlike simplicity, and pour out their hearts before thee. May they be brought to that time when they can look back and say, kept by the power of God, upheld even in my even in childhood and all those troubles and trials there. Oh, they might have been able to raise that Ebenezer stone in due time. Do remember parents in all that concerns them. To hear the cries of parents on behalf of their children, grandparents also. Lord, do hear those groans and cries are offered up on their behalf. Do give parents wisdom to answer questions which will be difficult, certainly in our day. Give them that wisdom. Ah, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not. Do remember those in the midst of life with all this cares and what year it has been thus far. Desolations in places, things turned upside down, things brought to naught. Ah, may we each prove the government of all things rests not upon our shoulders, but upon thy shoulder. And there is that blessed one, the shepherd of his sheep, who leadeth them forth with that right way. Ah, even through those darksome paths and tried circumstances. Ah, yes, for all their fears, the shepherd leads them forth with that right way. The shepherd provides for them. Ah, yes. Even works wonders for them. Have we not proved it so? May one or another prove it yet. There is a wonder-working God. Is anything too hard for thee? As one comes in the midst of the pathway of life and all those things of the past days, past weeks, past months, almost an impossibility. But oh, may they yet prove that with thee all things are possible. Thou canst make mountains flow down at thy presence. Those rough places smooth and those dark places light. And so we plead for them. Grant them that upholding of thy grace. May they prove the bounty of thy grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Remember those in the even time of life. Have their cares there. The grasshopper becomes a burden. And heart and flesh begin to fail. Lord, remember such. We think of our own dear aged mother and others also. Thou hast spared them perhaps many years in their pilgrimage. May they feel those everlasting arms underneath them. The God of Jeshurun. One that good shepherd and bishop of their souls that has borne them all the days of old. Will not forsake them in the swellings of Jordan. Will bring them safely through. But thou knowest the taunts of the adversary. What a vicious foe, cruel foe. Ah, as they feel the battle is strong, they are weak. But oh, the mighty God of Jacob, why they prove it is so. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Ah, the mighty God of Jacob, the God of Jeshurun, those everlasting arms. Oh Lord, we plead that they might feel it so. The comfort of it. Yes, the comfort of it in the midst of that last great battle. Do remember any of the sick. Lord, we plead for them. Do yet pour forth thy healing hand and grant that healing touch. Bless all the means used for their good. Some have languished in affliction's path for months, even years. But oh, thou art that great physician. Thou art that great physician, and thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, do yet restore them, grant that perfect healing that might be yet through these things. That done for the joy and rejoicing of their soul. Oh, we have to prove, some of us, that thy ways are not as our ways, neither thy thoughts as our thoughts. And some of us have had to prove through affliction's path the time of greatest blessing. Some of us had to prove, have we not, on a bed of affliction, even in a hospital, thou art able to make it a Bethel. Ah, when thou dost be, when thou art pleased to draw near, grant those answers of peace and not of evil to give an expected end. So we plead for those in their afflictions. Remember any with their particular trials and tribulations, perhaps unknown to anyone else. But oh, may they yet prove that all these things work together for their good. To those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Do remember us, Lord, we plead as churches and people. What solemn days we live in, thou hast a controversy with the land and also with Judah. Ah, O thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. All creation groans through thee, pregnant cause of misery. Thou hast searched Jerusalem with candles. Ah, may we each be brought in, as we see thy hand has gone forth in the nation. May be that stirring up in the nation, but also in the churches and in our own hearts. Bring us back to that narrow way if we wandered. Oh, yes, to keep us in that narrow way. Oh, we can soon become rich and have need of nothing. Ah, soon leave our first love. Oh, we need to be stirred up like the eagle that stirreth up her nest. And so may it please as thou hast. Ah, oh, there's been a stirring up as a knot. Oh, we plead. There might be yet a restoring, reviving, renewing, a returning. And so we plead for Zion, we sit in sackcloth and ashes. Have mercy upon us. Like Habakkuk, ah, revive thy work in the midst of our years. In the midst of our years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Thou art a God of mercy. And thou art that one, yes, even unto the rebellious. For the rebellious also we read in thy word. Bring back the rebellious. Work in the hearts mightily. Bring back prodigals, Lord. Ah, awaken many sinners round to come and fill the places. Minished and brought low. How few attend thy, enter into thy courts. How few attend the solemn feast. Ah, we see as those things have taken place, as thou hast caused them to come, man seems to harden his heart. But oh, do yet break the heart of man. Oh, may be those wrought upon. Ah, oh, they might see a thrice holy God. And to be now to say, like the prophet Isaiah, woe is me. Brought into thy court, smiting upon their breasts, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so we plead to remember this guilty nation. And through these things there might be yet that wrought. Ah, yet that wrought. Whereby this one or that one, if it could please thee, brought out of nature's darkness, and yet even in due time to tell out to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood, and say, behold the way to God. And so we plead, do remember us as a guilty land. We deserve thy just judgments, but thy hand is stretched out still. In wrath thou hast remembered mercy. But, O Lord, thy judgments are abroad in the nation and the nations of the earth. We deserve to be dealt with and destroyed like the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. May we ever plead and be found amongst that remnant that plead, that sigh and cry unto thee for the abominations done in the land. And so we plead that thou mightest yet stay thy hand. Ah, thy hand has gone forth. It is still going forth. What desolations it has caused. We tremble at many things, but Lord, we have to say this, thy will be done. And shall not the God of all the earth do right? Ah, do yet then make men willing in the day of thy power. As thou dost take out the heart of stone, break the heart of stone. And turn yet the feet to Zion's hill. Show our leaders what they ought to do. Break their hard hearts. Oh, may they yet acknowledge there is a God that we've offended. Ah, we plead they might yet be so. We're exhorted to pray for those that have the rule over us, and so we would. Give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But oh, may they seek counsel of thee. And so we would plead for them. But oh Lord, we would desire to praise thee that we have certainly many blessings still. Ah, even this day can we not say, even this morning, we've lacked nothing. Great has been thy faithfulness, and thy mercies have been new every morning. Where the world puts it down to fortune, luck and chance, we praise thee. And so it enables us to praise thee as we ought, to come even as the doxology, to praise God from whom all blessings flow. They all flow from thee. Thou canst take away, thou canst withhold. There has been a measure of withholding. Have we not had to prove it this year? There's been a measure of withholding. Not always able to obtain those things which we once did. But on the other hand, we've had to say we've gone, not gone without. And so we'll praise thee. There was a gathering in of a harvest. Gathering into the fruits of the field and the crops of the earth and the fruits of the field and those, and there's been that supply as a not being a food for both man and beast. We've seen once again those crops as we come this morning, saw one field which a few days ago there was nothing to be seen. And now, as the sun shone upon it for a moment, those ears, not the ears, the shoots, the promise of ears yet to come, if it could please thee, but the shoots were there. And how beautiful and wonderful it looked. Reminder of the promise, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat shall not cease, whilst the earth remaineth. And also we saw that beautiful bow in the cloud this morning, brighter than one's ever seen it before. Reminder of that covenant unto Noah, that there was no more to destroy all the earth with an overwhelming flood. It reminds us also, does it not, of that covenant unto thy people, which is ordered in all things and sure. That covenant of grace and all the bounty there. And all as we saw that bow this morning, felt that measure of lifting up of our weak hands. Ah, yes, strengthening within that there is a covenant-keeping God, one that is loved at all times. I've loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore loving kindness have I drawn thee, a love that will not change. Oh, we thank thee for these reminders as we see them. Man looks upon them as wonders, perhaps in a natural way. But we saw those shoots appearing in the earth and saw that bow in the cloud, a reminder, the goodness of our God. So do help us now, Lord, we plead. Man cannot live by bread alone, but it is by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Break the bread of life unto us. Satisfy us with thy goodness. Send none empty away. Poor sinners, needy sinners, dying sinners. Oh, grant unto us a sip from the well of salvation, a crumb that may fall from the Master's table. So do pardon and forgive our many, many sins, our often failings, constant shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 697. O thou lovely, loving Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame. Teach us now, henceforth and ever, to adore thy matchless name. Give us, blessed Jesus, give us a sweet glimpse of thy sweet face. From all carking care relieve us. Fill us with thy boundless grace. 697.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, turn to Paul's epistle to the Hebrews chapter 6. And this word, I trust, seemed precious unto oneself even on the past evening, where we read in verse 18, thereby two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But especially those words are concerning that one fleeing for refuge, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And what a mercy if we've been brought there. And is it not by the power of the Spirit taking a poor sinner in hand, convincing him of his sin? He's brought to that place where there's no hope in himself. There's no hope in himself, no hope outside of Christ. And the Spirit, unless the blessed teacher, the one that instructs, that leads his people forth by that right way, that they might go to that city of habitation, but he leads them in that way, out of self, away from self, away from anything which is short of Christ, are brought to flee unto this one, a precious Christ, as that refuge. The hymn came to my mind just now, and I turned to it quickly. Do we know anything of it, that hymn 1097? A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. Are we found amongst the weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin? Until the Spirit works in our heart, we have no knowledge of our need. It's only as the Spirit, when that work of grace is begun, takes up an abode in your heart and mine. That one is brought to feel how wretched and ruined and undone he is. His need, his desperate state. Yes, we can look back perhaps to a time when we were young and we thought we had a knowledge of what was right and wrong. It's a good thing when there is that in the heart of man naturally, a knowledge of right and wrong. But oh, when you brought him like the apostle, that place we have to say, of sinners of whom I am chief, the chiefest of sinners, the most black of sinners, the most deep dyed. You look at others and you can't say, well, I'm not as bad as this one or that one. If you say, like the apostle said just now, he had to say, of whom I am chief. Of whom I am chief. This refuge then. This refuge. When we think of that refuge, and that which was wrought out in eternity past, before ever the worlds were formed, between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost that was wrought out there. Plan of salvation, a covenant of grace. It wasn't, as it were, an afterthought. Almighty God knew that man would sin. Man would sin. And so it was it not? When Adam fell, so did you and I. All that have come forth from the womb, we've all come forth speaking lies, conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity, and who can know it? And none will know it truly. As we said, a man has a knowledge in measure of right and wrong, but none, until the Spirit reveals, truly knows that they are in the sight of a holy and a heart-searching God. That sinner indeed, a sinner in need. My mind has often been in recent weeks and months upon that which we read as regards Isaiah the prophet. When he saw one thrice holy, and if you have a sight of one thrice holy, like it was with the prophet there, when you stand before one and have such a view by faith as a prophet saw in that vision, it didn't leave him in that place where he said, well, I'm not so bad, I haven't done as much. It didn't leave him like that one that, thank God, who's not like other men. He's brought to that, woe is me. Oh, you turn to that portion in, I believe it's in the, is it in the sixth chapter in Isaiah? But oh, he, even the prophet of the Lord, in that sixth chapter, in that vision he saw, he speaks like this: in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. We read this, and the door, the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Such was that vision that Isaiah saw. Then said I, ah, do you know a little of this, where you've had to say, woe is me, woe is me. For I am undone. Ah. I am undone. Not saying this one's undone, that one's undone. But I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips. So the prophet Isaiah went on, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Ah, that sight of one thrice holy. We know, and I thought upon it again yesterday. When we're younger, perhaps we have not so many thoughts as regards our latter end. It may be fleeting. We have not that felt weakness in the body like we do as we get older. And then begin to feel that we're mortal creatures. In our younger years, we do not consider our latter end. or hardly ever. But oh, have you been brought perhaps even in these past months of this year? You've seen the Lord's hand going out in the nations of the earth and in this nation. Almighty God has put forth his hand. There have been many ushered from time to eternity. And perhaps like it is with oneself, it brings into reality that time that must come. Yes, we may try to put it off, the thought of it, but that time that must come when we shall each have to appear before the judge of all the earth. When we have to appear before the judge of all the earth, and that hour when brought to realize that there is this, that we shall have to answer for the deeds done in the body. The Lord will not at all acquit the wicked. That day must come. Have need of refuge. We've been brought there then. Those things are, as the Lord has been pleased to show forth his mighty hand. Even in that way, as on the one hand, a God of wrath. But on the other, the blessed Spirit has begun to reveal to you there is a God of mercy. There is a refuge. There is a place of safety. One then raised up from all eternity. The eternal Son. Soul rejoices in those chapters in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. And blessed be God if that's opened up to your understanding and mine. Whereby we see of a truth. One that took upon himself not the nature of an angel, the seed of Abraham, made flesh and blood. Why? In that way, made flesh and blood, made under the law, made like unto his brethren, to fulfill the law. When we think of dear Abraham, those many, many years before, when he's commanded to go and offer up his only son Isaac as a sacrifice, faith of Abraham there. And Isaac said unto his father Abraham, here is the wood and the fire, but where is the sacrifice? The answer that Abraham was unable to give, and was it not by living faith of that which was to come? God shall provide himself a lamb. Then, when Abraham was about to do what Almighty God commanded, the voice from heaven came, not to slay his son, but there was that provision, a ram caught by his horns in that thicket. We live in gospel days, in the council of eternity, there was that. Drawn up, that plan of salvation. God shall provide himself a lamb. One, verily God, verily man. And as that chapter 2 in Hebrews speaks, yes, it begins, as it ought, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape When we're brought to consider what we are, how great a sinner we are, how shall we escape? How shall I escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Our transgressions, our disobedience are like the prophet Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone. Do we know anything of it? There must be a measure of that knowledge of sin. Oh, and certainly when we come down to the end of our days, I've witnessed my own dear mother brought down to the swellings of Jordan. There's that realization, have need of a refuge. Having need of a refuge. Having need of that token, a token that she is bound up in that covenant. Ordered in all things and sure. Not being brought there and say, well, I've lived a good life. I've done this and done that. But all brought to that place, confessing sin, confessing utter wretchedness. Nothing to recommend, as we spoke a little earlier, nothing to commend. But oh, how shall we escape? How shall we escape? Yes, the swellings of Jordan, that burden of sin, how shall we escape without this refuge? How shall we escape unless shut in with Christ? How shall we escape unless washed in the Redeemer's blood? How shall we escape unless we're clothed upon with that robe of Christ's righteousness? How shall we escape? Do you know the lines of the hymn, are the refuge? Have I none? That hymn came to my mind early this morning. Do you know anything of the language of that hymn 303? Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide. O receive my soul at last. The second verse that came to my mind, other refuge have I none? And the swellings of the Jordan, there'll be no other refuge. Flesh won't avail you anything there. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. And then the plea in the next verse, the desire in the next verse. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint. Heal the sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name, I am all unrighteousness. Vile and full of sin I am, thou art full of truth and grace. Vile. Ah, the vilest sin, the vilest sinner out of hell. I believe we said in prayer, the day of grace has not ended, the door of mercy is not shut. The day of grace has not ended, the door of mercy is not shut. The foulest sinner, the most deep dyed, the Marys and the Manassas, a welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. That's our refuge. That's our refuge. And certainly is when one is brought down to the swellings of Jordan, there's that raging. The raging of the billows. Ah, yes, perhaps we have a measure of knowledge of sin when we have that strength of mind and body, and it's not the same when the weakness of the body is felt. And the raging billows, ah, the swellings of Jordan. Then there'll be no other refuge there that will be suitable. The natural strength decayed, longing to be shut in with Christ. Longing to be shut in with Christ. Ah, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, yes, these truths, these are the promises of God, that which is contained in his word as regards that work of grace, that plan of salvation. It's true. It's unalterable. Blessed be God. And as David with his last words, ah, he rejoiced in that. That covenant ordered in all things and sure. These blessed truths set forth in his word. As regards that plan of salvation, that which has been wrought by that one, the eternal Son, taking upon himself a body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin, that truly did condescend to be a man and die, the just to suffer the unjust, dying that we might live. That one who knew no sin, made sin for his people. Ah, and that finished work, the law satisfied, the dying words of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not that their refuge? To have it made known unto the soul, it's a finished work. Especially when the old adversary taunts you again and again, well, look at this sin, look at this, that sin. Look back to your childhood, your youth, your young manhood, young womanhood. Look at the sins of the past moment. What a catalogue. And then pointing out to you that you're a sinner down to the end of your days, and there will be those sins yet you will commit. Finished work. Oh, what an anchor to the soul. I've often rejoiced in my soul that those words are recorded, the dying words of the Lord Jesus Christ, before he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. No man took his life from him. He laid down his life as that spotless lamb, that perfect sacrifice, that sacrifice which was made once and for all. It is finished. It is finished. Finished work. Oh, there my own dear mother brought to the swellings of Jordan. Oh, knew what it was to groan under that burden. And how I heard her plead. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And even like that dying thief, he fled for that refuge, did he not? He fled to that refuge. When you think of those two, one on each side of the Lord, one unchanged, died in his sins, and the other, yes, moments before, was he not likewise railing upon the Lord Jesus Christ? There was that wrought in his heart. He saw he had need of a refuge. And why did he have need of that refuge? Because he is convinced of his sin. We indeed justly suffer for our sins. Ah, we indeed justly suffer for our sins. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And how he saw there one that was his only hope, that refuge for sinners. And he ventured his all, did he not, upon that one. He had nowhere else to go. Ah, he no more railed upon Christ and said, save thyself and us. Brought to venture unto that refuge. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. But unto that one it was a refuge sure and steadfast, was it not? An anchor of his soul in that last moment of his life. For the Lord spake. Ah, do you long for the Lord to speak? You fled to that refuge. Been brought to look alone unto this one. Raised high upon the gospel pole. Come like one, say unto my soul, I'm thy salvation. Speak peace and pardon to my soul. Oh, you long to taste that he's gracious. And if there's that one that has fled even to this refuge, they shall. Blessed be God, they shall. All that cometh unto me are nowise cast out. That coming sinner, that dying thief, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord was pleased, and blessed be God, will be saying to each fleeing sinner, the Lord will grant those answers of peace and not of evil to give an expected end. And the answer to that dying thief was this. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Ah, that refuge. That refuge. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenceless head. Ah, we indeed justly suffer for our sins. Yes, he knew of a truth that, they deserved a divine justice. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But he's brought to see that one who was to die in his room place instead. One that bore his iniquities. Yes, cast him into the depths of the sea to be seen no more. Plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to pardon all my sin. Let the healing streams abound. Make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art. Let me freely take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart. Rise to all eternity. One brought to flee unto Christ. Christ revealed the hope of glory. Was not that the apostles' desire? I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is faith in Christ. I'll turn to those words if I can find them. But was it not? May it be your desire and mine. That I may win Christ, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That poor sinner brought to view that one thing. Was it not so with the dying thief then? No doubt he looked upon him as an ordinary man. But under the work of the Spirit. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. And that poor dying thief that day, a son or a daughter, truly was a son. That beggar raised up from the dunghill as that heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. May that be your desire and mine. The days hasten on. We know not what a day or an hour may bring forth. But we might be taught to number our days, we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. But also led along to see this one, to be the anchor of our soul, my soul. The anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And which entereth into that within the veil, to see that one that's now entered in as your glorious high priest of mine. He entered in there. We read concerning the high priest of old, went into the holiest once every year, and not without the blood of the sacrifice. But he entered in once and for all, with his own heart's blood. And the poor sinner will find that is his anchor. For he has to go again and again looking alone unto this one. Like Jonah of old, yes, he sinned, but where was his anchor? Oh, look again. The poor sinner have to look again and again. Like Jonah, oh, look again toward thy holy temple. And out of the belly of hell cried I. Yes, he was brought to see he had sinned. He had gone against the command of God. And the Lord dealt with him. Brought him back. But that anchor, sure and steadfast, where else could he look? He couldn't look to himself. He couldn't look to his fellow sailors that were, or fellow travellers that were with him to save him. He felt as if the waves and the billows went over his head. He went down to the depths. But that anchor, oh, look again. Toward thy holy temple and out of the belly of hell, cried I. Well, the Lord heard him there. Ah, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. That hope which is built upon nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen.
God willing, on Tuesday evening, Mr. Richard Wells is expected to preach. On Friday evening, there'll be a prayer meeting for the church members at 8 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach. And the Lord's Supper will be deferred to a later date. And there will, God willing, be a church meeting on Monday, the 2nd of November, after the prayer meeting. Let us close with hymn 736. Show me some token, Lord, for good, some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. Hymn 736.
down upon us each in mercy, then we plead. May we know what it is to flee to that refuge as poor sinners, needy sinners, dying sinners, hell-deserving sinners. And may we prove in that refuge, that place of safety. That place of safety, to be shut in with Christ. Like it was with Noah and his family, they were shut in, were they not, into their ark. Almighty God shut them in. Speaks of that, that which is through Christ, and to be shut in with Christ and what he hath accomplished. Oh, that plan of salvation, to have a sweet knowledge of it made known unto us, and to see that precious blood, that which, as it were, sealed it, thine own heart's blood. Oh, do lead us each forth by that right way. Leave us not to anything false. Leave us not to any rotten props, false foundations. 'Tis Christ must be the way. So do be pleased to bless that which is of thee, and cover the mantle of forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. And do be pleased to come up as again in the evening hour, a fresh need. Oh, may it please thee, work in our hearts mightily, both as speaker and hearers. Do us each good. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.